This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
All right, we're doing a Behind the Curtain. Josh isn't in. It's about his sleep talk. To this day, I want to know what was the file he would not give us like a year ago. It's the only time he's held anything back, correct?
Two things. It had to be either super specific about someone on this show where there's a name involved and he's arguing, because he doesn't argue in person. He bottles it all up, and everything he wants to say and everything he's thinking comes out at night, including his farts and his thoughts. So it was either something that happened on the show that bothered him so much that he was yelling and screaming at someone super specific on the show, or it was just laced in profanity, and he doesn't like profanity.
Those I think it was profanity. I would take a guess that it was either profanity or it was sexual. Either he was just getting down. He was having a dream.
Oh, like someone a wet dream. I didn't even think about that.
Oh, someone was catching it, or he was cussing up a storm.
Like a whole lot of moaning.
He gives it directly to you.
Take it, you whore.
Well, I'm pretty sure there was an F-bomb involved.
That's what I said, profanity. But I really think it might have been.
So, which could imply something of a sexual nature, too.
Yeah. Oh, like, I wanna blank you.
Yeah. I wanna F your thing. I wanna L your Q. I wanna...
All right.
R your T's so bad. I don't know what those last three things were. Hear about it now. We got fresh sleep talk audio from Josh Spiegel. Josh, what's the name of the app you use to record yourself when you sleep?
Sleep Talk.
That's the stuff. Find it. It's free. I think there's a paid version, but just get the free one. It's the same one.
Yeah, there's a ton of them now. I actually I did the App Store thing and I was looking for the one. Is this the one right here?
Yes, but they made a change. They only let you listen to a certain number, like a certain amount of time of your sleeping, and then they charge you like $3.99 or something.
So are you paying for it or no?
Yeah, I had to pay, but I think it's you can do it once and it's indefinite.
Let me give you a couple of bucks for that too, by the way, because it's just a bounty.
Bounty.
Yeah, the one you're looking for is made by, if you're looking for the developer, Madden Sweden. One word, Madden Sweden.
Yeah, that's the one we've had good success with.
And we have some fresh audio coming up. We're going to play some best of, but God lover, out of nowhere from yesterday into today, I told Buck, I said, hey, we got fresh sleep talk here. We want to listen. She loves the sleep talk. She loves whenever you just start mumbling crazy stuff in the middle of the night.
This is just the mother me. I love that mother. You'd like to
de-mother me. Ooh. And all this 100% real, by the way. None of this is faked at all. This is all real from Spiegel's bed.
It's all real. So she says, hey, it's funny you should say that. When you took one of your melatonin tablets, it's a little something to help me sleep in the weekends because my brain is just a popcorn popper, won't turn off. She recorded me. And I say something at the end of this clip. I don't know what it is. It sounds like I'm counting, but you get some good snores. So here's sleep talk from me.
The Justin edition. Oh, okay. Well, she's right up on you. Right up on you. That is real snoring. You need a CPAP, homie.
Oh, here we go.
Oof. Oh, that is creepy.
Yeah, that's...
Hold on.
That's me waking up. That's just me waking up.
Wow. Did we amplify that? Slow it down? Did we do anything with that?
Yeah. No. Nope. You go along a little bit further, I enhance the volume.
Oh, did you?
All right, back down there. Okay. Here. After this. No, a little further.
A little further down. Scroll down. Right there. There. That's there the stuff. Here we go. What am I saying? That's weird.
You talk fast. You're a fast talker.
God, I don't even shut up in my sleep. God, how has someone not just dropped a pickaxe into my chest?
Wow, that was like something out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
There's a law shall reign supreme in a new age of hellfire.
Yeah, let's hit these snores one more time.
And what made her do this? Just because you were snoring so loud?
Yeah. It's like, I don't snore. I've never snored. I've no. Sorry, I guess
deep,
I do snore.
Robust.
Uh-oh. Oh, sounds like a demon.
That's unsettling. Sorry.
The power of Christ is with you. The power of Christ.
Something. Mike, did you get anything, Mike? Any of you pick up any of that?
I couldn't figure it out. I listened to it, but I couldn't weed out any words.
We have fresh sleep talk audio for you. Mike, how's this laid out here? I see the file in front of me. I see best of in parentheses updated.
Yeah, I went through all the archives yesterday and grabbed all the best pieces from over the years because we've been doing this for, 5 years now, maybe?
And may we do it for 5 years more.
Yeah, so, it's an app that you run at night, and it'll trigger when it hears some sound and start to record, whether you're snoring, whether you're talking in your sleep. If you have a loved one that talks in their sleep or snores real bad, you might want to think about downloading the Sleep Talk app. Spiegel runs it in his bedroom. He's got that new mattress for a mattress, so he's sleeping extra good now. So he's getting real deep into the, what do you call that? The
REM,
REM sleep. Wherever he's going deep.
What is it called? Remedial eye movements?
We might get some more juicier stuff because he's just maybe so deep into the sleep that he didn't even realize what's happening.
Now, Josh, it's, you know, we're a room full of honesty here. You do listen to the audio ahead of time.
Of course.
Before you give it to Mike.
Yes.
Was there anything on this batch you wouldn't hand over?
No. I look for the best stuff.
But was there anything you had to delete because it was incriminating or too violent or too
profanity-laced? Interestingly, there were large portions where I was breathing normally, not snoring, and I believe that it's my new mattress for a mattress firm.
Hell yeah. Because, 100%.
Yeah, because the base is adjustable.
You put it up a little?
Yeah, and I sleep a little bit elevated.
Inclined, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Good.
So I think that that may help. But there's plenty of other snoring.
Oh, good.
Mother me.
All right, are we heading, we going best of, or are we just going straight fresh new stuff?
Let's take a look back real quick. It's about two minutes.
2 minutes?
Whoa.
Oh, God.
Where's the new stuff?
After?
Is it the end? Is at the top. A Vox, you'll see it at the top there.
The Sleep Talk final. Oh, wow, this thing's 2 minutes. Okay, we'll play portions of this thing. And just, Scott, throw your hand up in the air when you say,
so
hey,
this is the
enough.
Look back at the best of the Sleep Talk audio.
Yep.
Damn, son.
Oh!
Apnea.
Yeah!
It's my dog.
To me now. Don't steal it from my desk. I don't give a damn.
Oh, so juicy.
I heard you.
Oh.
I dropped all your library books.
Oh, whoa.
Your feet.
Oh, I don't even remember that.
Bruh!
Whoa!
Bruh!
That's one of the all-time greats right there.
Mm-hmm. God, I forgot about the library books thing, too.
Yeah.
Wow, the library books thing.
My library book. I'm going to pull your femur out and kill your family with it.
Woo, buddy. All right, so there's a little chunk of the old stuff. So let's head up, and without further ado, fresh Sleep Talk audio.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's deep.
Oh.
Put your phone in a different place. Sounds better.
Yeah, he's not kidding. It sounds clearer and closer.
Like closer.
I guess it was a little. It was right next to my bed.
Yeah.
Mike, we have a minute and 17 seconds left in this. Where is what you were discussing with us?
Towards the end.
Okay.
Here we go.
Oh, go back. Was that a fart?
Yep, that
and
was.
Is that, what is that? Is that a TV or something?
You know, I turn down the radio sometimes before I go to sleep. I like to listen to a little bit of music.
Radio.
Here we go.
Well, that,
what is that? Smooth jazz or something?
I think
something
that was like the that. Rest of the fart. Josh's ass sounds like a clarinet.
He's now farting jazz.
That's definitely 98 Rock. That's what it is.
Yes. If you listen to some smooth jazz.
Smooth jazz overnights here on 98 Rock.
Oh.
Squeaker.
Oh, yeah. Here comes something. Oof. Big guy here.
Oh, like a horny bear.
Like a whale. Like a whale mating or something.
Oh, cheesy fart. I talked over it.
It's
I'm sorry.
No, no worries. Let's back it up one more time. And
go to the whale mating. Here it is.
Is this one? The sperm whale's majestic.
Oh! Check your drawers, homie.
You need a new bed already. You just got this one.
Are you getting one of this?
What?
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jackpot, homie.
Got it. Awesome. Awesome.
Something Let's about a dish? What is it?
Hold on. Here we go.
Talk about more of the dish.
Here we go.
Are you getting one of this?
What is that?
I have no idea.
Right, sounds like you're saying something else coming up here.
Are you getting one of this?
You repeated it. What is it, Mike?
What is he saying?
You want a dish?
Is he ready?
I couldn't really make a whole lot out of it.
Maybe it's from Passover. Maybe it's a food reference from Passover.
Maybe. I think you're trying to get DirecTV. It sounds like you're trying to get a satellite dish hooked up. All right, 17 seconds left.
Josh waking up.
Just waking up with the dog.
Oh, and I told her what.
With the dog. I like the little noises you make in the morning. Right there. Stop right there.
And right I say to her 1 second.
Yeah, I heard that. But listen to the beginning of it. This little noise he makes here.
Right here.
That's all I say to her. I don't know.
Good morning.
Yeah, something like that.
Good morning.
Here comes that juicy fella one more time for those in the cheap seats.
Oh, that's meaty.
The dog.
You and get back to the words one more time about the dish.
Here we are. Time for the dish.
Are you getting one of the dish? Are you getting one of the dish?
Ah, something about that
it's
dish.
It's interesting how I talk slow and Justin talks fast. And I don't know. I find that interesting.
Oh, God, dude. That mattress of yours you just bought. Time to get a fresh one, man. I mean, that's a wake up and take a shower right there. Whoopsie daisy. Yeah, at that point, that's not so much a bed sheet as it is a diaper.
We now take you behind the curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had a idea, or credit where credit is due. Josh, I think you thought of this. Scott, you lit up like a Christmas tree, and we all had the idea, hey, let's record this first and then play it back later, because this is one of those bits that there's a lot of moving parts. We want to make sure that once it makes it to air, it's worth listening to. And that was us deciding to prank Scott's wonderful grandfather in his 90s with audio that Josh played earlier in the day, that Tuesday of a woman who has since passed on. She was 172 years old.
In Italy.
She was in Italy. And dare I say, it went about as good as you could have hoped for. It was great.
Yeah.
Have you talked to anybody from the family since?
Well, it's funny because that day, my mom and dad were listening. My mom helped me coordinate, you know, make sure he'd be around and up. And I guess they listened to it, and she just wrote pretty funny with a little laughing, crying face emoji.
She wasn't even at all mad?
Nah, what are you going to do? I was supposed to get mad at, you know?
Can I ask, who is there with him?
No one. He lives
no one,
by
he's,
himself.
He's on his own? God, man. That would be incredible. Blessed life to be able to do that.
It's just scary because I mean, as a, you know, I don't want to get like, you know, way off topic here, but like as the child of a 93-year-old who lives on his own, how do you ever relax? Like, how does my mom ever just not at every moment wonder what the hell's that kooky old guy doing over there all by himself? And I stayed with him one time when I went to Long Island not too long ago because he lives in Florida and Long Island. He goes back and forth. And
he travels more than I do. That's great.
And so he stayed in his apartment. I got to just like watch him, like, and it was frightening.
Just the length of time it took him to do stuff, no, or the coordination,
the stuff he was
or lack
trying
thereof
to do. Because he's always worked with his hands, like his entire life. Whoa. He's just always fixed things. He's always worked with his hands.
Made his
and
own his wine.
Screen door wasn't closing all the way. You know how like sometimes it hits and the latch doesn't catch? So he's over there with like a steak knife and pliers and whoa, some wood, and he's trying to. But like back in the day, he would have this thing fixed better than new in minutes. And he still thinks he can do these things. So you're watching, you're like, he's going to stab himself. He's going to have to go to the hospital.
Especially someone like him who's, thank God, may we all be blessed to grow old in the manner that he has. He's retained his mental faculties to where, I mean, you're eventually, everyone's going to get a little slower. But I'm not saying, I would never like bring up like dementia or Alzheimer's.
No,
so
yeah,
he might
yeah,
be
yeah
a little
he's
slower
fine
on the pickup.
He's fine.
But when you still, he retains, I bet everything that he knew how to do as a young man when it comes to repairing stuff, making stuff, brewing and distilling his own wine, whatever, all that knowledge is still there. But the tools that you had, your body have dulled. That's got to be like you're trapped in a prison of flesh.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Like he just, you know, he thinks he can still do these things. And I've always said, you know, the doctors say he's in good health. We got a little bit of a health scare going on right now. But I always say he's going to end up, like, dying by his own hand other than, like, you know, the good Lord taking him. Because he's going to try and do something or he's going to be doing something he shouldn't be doing. And, you know, it's going to lead to an accident. And that's what's going to, that's how I think it's going
to happen. I'm going to microwave this bowl of batteries trying to fix the screen door.
Right.
Yeah, well, hey, we had some fun with them. You guys loved it. We're thinking about making a soundboard to continue doing it. Screwing with Pops on Behind the Curtain.
Find us, Spiegel, if you could, dip into your archives a little bit from back, maybe earlier in the week, last week, the old Italian lady.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
She died.
Yes.
Her heart just said
117.
I got an old Italian guy in my life, 93-year-old Pops down in Florida, and luckily he's not to the point where his heart just decided one day. She was sitting, this woman, she's 117 years old. We did a story on her a few months back. And she was talking about turning 117, and
head just fell off.
And then, I guess last week or earlier this week, she was sitting in a chair, and her heart just kind of quit and said, "You know what? Long enough. 117. We're out." And she died. But this was the audio of her when she was celebrating her birthday.
Okay, man, get loose. Oh, very good. Man, get me shorty. Mando niente perché sono sempre 20, non ho più voce, allora la voce non ho più voce da cantare.
Yeah, so that whole thing. So we came up with the idea that I have the old 93 guy down in Florida, we have this audio, why don't we prank my grandfather, we'll call him and do nothing but play that audio to him over the phone.
It's one of these things that we knew we needed to record because if we did it live, the connection wasn't great, the audio wasn't good.
A lot of variables.
So you said, let's just record it after the show. If it's good, it's good. If it's not, we won't air it. And it turned out pretty good. So here you go.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
What?
Okay, man, get loose.
Hello. Who's this?
Oh, hung up.
Let's call back.
Call him back.
Let the whole thing play. Just let it keep going. Just straight through. Just over and over. He hung up, the bastard.
I can't believe he hung up on a 117-year-old woman.
Okay, here we go.
Why not you shut up?
Okay, Mandelor. Oh, well,
Who's this? Shut your mouth, please. Shut up, shut up. Who's this? What? Yeah. How old are you?
Oh, screwing with old people.
Oh, we got to do it again sometime. That was fun.
We should do that like once a week.
You know, we got to make a little soundboard, Mike, of all different stuff that we can just, we'll do the whole, you know, nothing new, nothing groundbreaking, but with my pops, it's pretty fun. And we'll get a soundboard of a whole bunch of just people saying stuff. And just, we don't say a word and we just keep having weird conversations with them, you know, with a soundboard.
Before we jump, did you hear him, by the way? He was responding to her Italian. He's, how old are you? Because she was talking about how old she was in that clip in Italian, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
He understood what she was saying.
Probably a little bit, yeah.
Because he, I hope you drop dead.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Feel like an idiot for punching stuff when you get angry, and we've all done it. Scott, a week removed from you hitting your refrigerator in anger, how do you feel?
I thought about it the other day again, and I'm just really not happy with myself. I don't know what it is. I had to cover the thing. It's like right on the front of the door. There's a dent there from where I punched it, and I had to put like something over it to like hide it.
But this isn't a regular thing. Like, can you remember the instance before this where you lashed out, struck something?
Yeah, I mean, it's more regular probably than I'd like to admit. I get frustrated so easily. Like, and I want to do things like so right and so perfect all the time, and then when, like, you know, it could be something as simple as pouring a glass of milk and you spill some milk, and I guess I have anger issues.
I had a friend, actually, I should have brought this up, but he got pissed off and punched a cinder block wall with his wedding ring on, a tungsten ring,
and it shattered
and exploded. Yeah,
god, that's embarrassing.
Look, I'm not perfect. A lot of people out there aren't perfect. We've all done it. And I'm just going to try and better myself and be more calm and moving forward.
Hear about it now. Hitting stuff when you're pissed. On my own curtain. Yes. Good times will be had. Unless, of course, something bad happens. You stupid, dummy, stupid, stupid, stupid.
Well, you shared something stupid over the weekend.
Yeah. I'm not proud of this. Sunday, I believe. No, Sunday was Easter. Saturday, then. I noticed that when you looked out the window on my shed's like covered in leaves and sticks and deadfall. So I got my ladder out and I put it up, and I went to crawl up there and to kind of scoot stuff and rake it off. I basically raked the shed's roof, and stupid me being me, I put the ladder on the ground and one of the legs was like balancing precariously on a rock. I didn't get a nice solid base underneath of it.
Gotta get that solid base.
I didn't get a solid base, no trouble. Damn thing falls out from underneath of me and I'm like holding on to the edge of the shingles, which are digging into my arms. Now I'm only like 3.5 feet off the ground, enough to at worst tweak an ankle. But I'm embarrassed, and everyone around the neighborhood, I don't know how many eyes are on me, and I feel like an idiot. I jump down, and I wail myself in the head. Just stupid! And immediately after connecting knuckle to forehead, I'm thinking to myself, I have messed up. I'm seeing sparkles. I'm feeling a knot raise off of my forehead. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the kids in the window looking down at me like, oh, stepdad's a psychopath. We just saw a stepdad punch himself in the face. So it was just, it was embarrassing. It was dumb. A ladder slipped. It's on me. And I don't know why I reacted like that. And it's not the first time.
No, yeah.
There's been times where I was playing video games. Who here hasn't chucked a video game controller and had it explode? Or I've been playing video games in the past where I'll lose a game of Street Fighter or I'll lose a game of Tekken. It's a video game. And I mean, I'll wail myself in the head. Just, stupid. Why can't I get that stupid combo to work? And I'm like, why are you doing that, dummy? Now, it's been a long time since I've done that, but the demon still lurks within.
Oh, yeah.
What happened to you?
Yeah, I had a moment yesterday, and I mean, you were hesitant to tell us.
You
saw we had our like pre-show meeting, and we were talking for about 15, 20 minutes, like, hey, you know, what do you want to do? What do you think we should do here? What do you think we should do there?
And you,
And I was just kind of sitting here biting my tongue. And then I'm finally like, well, I do have this thing I could share. I'm like, I'm really not happy with myself. And
you put your face in your hands.
I was very hesitant to share this. I brought it up in the meeting, and you guys were like, look, this is relatable. People will be able to relate to it, and you're not the only one. And I punched my fridge yesterday, and I may have put a dent in my fridge.
Ooh.
In the top freezer door.
Dag, yo.
And like you said, you know, it was so dumb. I don't know what it was. I was cranky. I have a headache for the last few days because of allergies. And I'm very hypercritical of myself in certain ways where if, you know, I do something wrong or I'm trying to do something right and it doesn't, all I was just trying to get something out of the bottom of the fridge. And there was a bunch of stuff on that shelf and I was trying to do it like gingerly. And of course I knock five things out of the fridge onto the floor as I'm trying to just get one.
Damn it.
Just the avalanche of stuff. And I'm like, son of a bitch! And I just, it was just enough. It was enough because I don't know what it was. I'm a psychopath, I guess. And I just stood up and it was just a quick jab, like BOOM! And I look and there's, these two knuckles right here, just in the
perfect dent
in the fridge door. And I'm not happy. I'm not proud of myself.
What did you
do? And I had to slide. And what do you mean? What did I do?
I was saying, what did you do in the moment? In the moments afterwards, what was your feelings? What was your, oh no, that was dumb. Did you feel better? Did you feel worse?
Of course, worse. I mean, but not like exponentially worse. I was just like, you. God, idiot. Why do you do this?
Is that an easy thing to make a dent in? I don't know anything about materials.
He's got a hell of a right cross.
Or is it easy to make a dent?
I don't know. While I was doing it, I wasn't thinking that this will result. I mean, it was all a split second.
Yeah,
really. But the last thing in my mind was like, this is going to end in a dent in the fridge. But it's there. Yeah, so I don't know how hard I hit, but yeah, I hit hard enough to make a dent.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know anything about that.
No, what's it made out of?
But I just can't.
Aluminum?
I mean, that has to be a really strong
punch.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. I don't know.
I don't know what a fridge is made out of. Aluminum or something?
Like,
or,
if you punch Josh's fridge, your hand would shatter. It's this gigantic, like, freeze blaster. It's basically what I believe certain police departments and municipalities keep corpses in until the autopsy's finished. So if you hit Josh's, your hand's just going to break.
And so then I had to move. Like, we had some stuff on the fridge, and I had to strategically move something over to hide. So
the
now
dent.
We have some, like, something on the fridge to hide the dent. And then when Chiquita came home, I just told her. I said, look, I'll buy a new door if I have to. I'll fix it if you want me to. But I punched the fridge today, and I'm not proud of it. And
what'd she say?
She said, she looks at it, and she goes, this is what crazy people do. And I said, you're absolutely
right.
And I said, you're absolutely right.
Thanks for the support, baby.
I said, you're absolutely right.
She didn't wrap her arms around you and be
you're
like,
absolutely
there.
Right.
What was her tone? Was it just like shock or?
She was just whatever. I mean.
Oh, hell no.
Nah, I wouldn't.
She starts snapping.
I would have tried to hide it. Like put a giant picture
no,
over.
No, I did. Like I said, man. I had already moved the picture over, but I said she's going to see it sooner or later, so I might as well just cop to it. Whatever. I'm a grown man. I did what I did.
Yeah.
Just not proud of myself. It's just the hypercriticalness has gotten out of control. And like I said, that's a big thing. Because if we're going to open up the phone lines of like, what did you punch?
Yeah.
it's also why, because if you come home and you catch your wife in bed with two dudes, you might start punching some stuff, including people's faces and walls.
Like two dudes.
But if it's something that you do on your own and it causes you to do that, like you messed up placing the ladder, you were mad at yourself, you punched yourself in the head. I was trying to get something out of the fridge. I was trying to do it tactfully and everything fell and I felt like an idiot, you know, dummy.
Stupid!
And I just punched the fridge and I tend to do that more often than I like to admit, but it's, you know.
Mike, you've told us many times you have a very abusive relationship with your car.
Yeah, there's
you beat that car's ass.
But that's from a lot of outside stimuli, though, isn't it?
You're the Ike Turner to that car's Tina.
But I did have a similar incident with a refrigerator once when I came home from school and realized my sister had eaten the pizza I'd been saving.
Yeah, but once again, that's something that someone else did. You know what I mean?
I know, but it was such an overreaction to pizza.
I
slammed the fridge door so hard that it ripped out all the interior shells.
Whoa!
I mean, we had to put it back. Yeah, we were able to fix it with, you know, some tape and stuff.
God, we're getting in some tweets and texts here. Listen, this is it. Like, you've made a good distinction, Scott, of stuff that's happened to you, road rage, someone eating your pizza, or things that occurred within your own self. I knocked over the stuff on the shelf in the refrigerator. I'm the one that placed the ladder poorly. Mike Mancelli says, difference. I hit my shin on a coffee table, picked it up, threw it through the drywall.
Just sick of it. Hey, you don't have to worry about it being there anymore, right? Yeah. Last time you're hitting your shin on that table.
All right, so coming up, we're going to talk to you. 410-338-1098. 410-338-1098. Safe space. We purge here.
Well, now I'm scared of Scott.
Yes, you have all the
I knew you would judge me about this, Spiegel. You're a very judgmental person.
No, I'm... Look, it's water under the bridge. You know? It's water.
Now you've said it. I know that's how you feel.
He's going to hit you before the end of the show.
Sorry, Mr. Perfect over there.
You've never hit anything, Josh?
Not that I remember. I mean, my son...
So, yeah, Scott, he punched a refrigerator. I punched myself in the head after damn near falling off of a ladder. Josh is interested in punching something. Maybe we'll have him break something in studio coming up.
It's interesting. Yesterday, I actually felt like punching something yesterday at home. I'm not even kidding. It's just interesting that this happened.
Why would you just take that song? Get rid of that.
Yesterday I was very, very much on edge at home and... I was just trying to relax. Do you ever get really hopped up? And
I just punched the fridge yesterday.
Yeah. But I mean, I
attacked the fridge.
Like I was driving home from work, and I just couldn't relax, and I just had to turn the radio off. And I was trying to. I thought I was overstimulated. Like too much happening. Like too much noise. Too much. Like everything was bothering me.
Something has to die.
But I didn't. I didn't end up. I probably should. I'm going to punch something. The next time that happens, I'm punching something. Did you feel better?
I just felt like an idiot.
No, but I mean not... Okay, I guess you. All right.
I mean, no. It doesn't help. That's not the way to vent your frustration. For me, it's always like, you know, whenever something like this happens, it's not like I'm a violent person or it's not like... you need to be fear me.
Yeah.
It's very self hypercriticalness.
It's contained. There's no victims in your
it's
case.
Me against me. It's like
it's
God
you versus
idiot.
Maytag.
Like, how could you drop that? Or you idiot? You were supposed to. You know, you tried to do this right and you screwed it up. You idiot.
Another situation where I always do that too is when I'm driving and I forget something and have to turn around.
Right.
I go into
idiot.
A violent.
No, when I get lost.
If I get lost.
That's the second one. If you like miss an exit or you get lost or.
I'm at home and I look up, you know, the where I'm going and I have it in my head, I'm like, okay, you got this. You know where you're going. Just follow these three roads. And then you get lost. And then I feel like I'm better than that. I feel like, Scott, what are you doing? Come on. You shouldn't have gotten lost. Getting lost is a big one for me. I'll punch the passenger seat. I get so mad at myself.
And what sucks is if you hurt yourself in the act.
Dude, I remember one now. My old apartment. Oh, this sucked. This sucks so much. I'm getting mad thinking about it.
I was cleaning out the cat box, and I had a plastic bag full of cat litter.
Oh, yeah.
And the damn thing rips, and it's just a sea of filthy, dirty cat litter on the floor. And I get furious, and I do an Anderson Silva front kick to the wall.
Oh.
And I thought I was going to go ahead and put a hole in the drywall. Nope. Boom. Kick a stud.
I have a bruise on my heel that reminds me for 2 weeks with every step I take, every breath, that I kicked a wall like a dumbass.
Yep.
So I'm reminded for weeks that I could have just been chill in that moment, swept it up, had a beer, gone on with my day. But no, because I had to be Danielson and try and attack my home. I'm an idiot. 410-338-1098. God, it went everywhere. Let's see here. Oh, where's the dude with the mattress? Mattress man, call back. You sounded like an insane person. Let's talk to Josh in Baltimore. Josh, good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey.
My story is actually about when I kicked something so hard I broke my toe. Ooh. It was the winter before last, right before that big snow. I don't know if you guys remember. We had like 2 foot of snow. Of course, you remember. But I went outside. My car wouldn't start. I tried to see if it was a battery. I took one bolt off. The bolt fell down into the engine.
Oh.
I tried to keep calm.
Tried.
Took the second one off. Set it somewhere where I thought it was safe. The wind blew. It blew it down inside the engine.
Oh.
And I completely lost it. And I went in here. I started kicking a bunch of stuff. And I thought I had my work boots on, but it turned out I had my slippers on. And just kicking like all types of stuff. And I kicked the dryer, broke my toe, mangled my toenail.
Yuck.
It's so bad I couldn't even put my foot in my boot the next day. I had to tell my boss I couldn't go to that snow removal for the big snow. He was like, okay, well, just go ahead and take a layoff then. So I was laid off for like 2 months after that.
Damn, see, that's in that just, moment, you're like, why couldn't I just exercised 5 seconds of chill? 5 seconds of a lack of chill now cost me 2 months worth of work, a broken toe, a shattered toenail, you kicked a dryer, you feel like an idiot, and you're in immense pain.
Yep.
That's exactly
right.
Now, let me give you an example that we're not talking about. Zachary writes us, my neighbor was threatening to kick my ass. I wouldn't back down, so they called the cops. I'm mouthing off in front of the cops at the neighbor on my own property, and I was arrested for disorderly conduct. My wife put her hand on the cop's shoulder and begged him not to lock me up while holding our baby.
No.
The cop hit my wife to break contact. I lost it while in handcuffs and headbutted the cop car twice. Yeah, that's not what we're talking about. That is like an Essex choose your own adventure. Turn to page 5 if you're going to headbutt the cop car, or turn to page 12 if you're going to ask the officer if he can get your smokes out of your back pocket. Let's go to Nick in Pasadena. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Bard.
So, recently, I was unloading the dishwasher, and the cup cabinet is right above the dishwasher, and I left the cabinet door open. Oh. As I came up, you banged your head on the corner of that cabinet, and I instantly felt my blood just boil through my skin, and I just slammed the cabinet door as hard as I could, broke the cabinet door, broke some of the glasses in the cabinet, and I turn around, and there are the wife and kids looking at me like I'm a psycho.
Oh, that sucks.
Yep.
See, that kind of goes into what you were saying when Scott punches his fridge, Chiquita comes home, very good of you to be honest, says, hey, I had a moment, I hit the fridge, and she looks at you and says, that's something a crazy person does. Yeah, I think Buck does the same. If she comes to find out that, if she'd have seen me punch myself in the head, she's staying with her mom for a few days. Thank God the kids didn't say anything to her, because one of them was looking out the window.
Are you okay?
I'm fine! I'm stupid, but I'm fine!
Somebody says, hit a heavy bag. Do it almost every day, and it relieves so much frustration.
Yeah, that sounds great. I would love, Josh, you want to hit something, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Hit a heavy bag.
Josh.
Maybe I'll go buy some, like, what are those little gloves? The little, like,
little 5 ounce guys?
5 ounces.
Little MMA glove?
I look like an idiot. I don't know how to punch.
Didn't I bring in some gloves? Because I tried boxing with a trainer a while ago. I don't use them. Maybe I could gift them to you.
Yeah, I'll just go buy my own. I don't want your old sweaty gloves.
I want you to wear them.
Okay.
And I want you to hit something.
Got all that Jewish sweat all over them?
Yeah. I want that Jewish sweat.
What should I hit?
Wyckoff. In the face.
All right.
No, what about the fridge here? That fridge in there sucks. It's filthy. It's old. No one's going to be pissed off. Mike, do we have Josh go punch the fridge? Do you think people are going to get pissed off if we punch the fridge here?
Go
hit the ice maker.
Maybe I can find a box or something.
I want to hit something that that gives me a reaction.
Rick.
Yeah, right, okay, the boss, Rick.
Right in the shoulder.
I'm doing that.
Just walk right in. Just walk right in and just tag him right in the shoulder. Now, he will fight back, but it'll be fun for us to sit back and watch. Let's go to Richard, line 6. Good morning.
Good morning, Klaus.
Morning, sir.
Hello.
Well, I'm lucky or fortunate enough to live in a pretty affluent area up in Hunt Valley, which your chief meteorologist is actually my neighbor. And by the way, he's a real schmuck.
He's but anyway. Right. What is that? What is the point?
I'm trying to get the house ready to sell the house.
You got hung up on!
You got to add your little,
hold on now.
Okay. Yeah, you're taking a 50-yard walk for a 2-foot story.
Yeah, you come need to sprinkle in the details about our chief
meteorologist. Well, the thing is I work in a very nice part of town, and I live in a very affluent neighborhood, and one of your chief meteorologists, long hair, don't care, DGAF. Let's go to, by the way, did you start the phone call with Hello Class?
Yes.
That's a different show, jackass. Let's go to Bill in Catonsville.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, Bill.
This is Justin Scott and Spiegel on
98
Rock.
Good morning, Bill. Go. Proceed.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. What I was calling up about, you know, I provide a place called Smashing Good Time Stress Reliever where people can come get their frustrations out on our product.
Book it.
Okay, let me get this straight.
I'll be there today. I'll be there at 1.
Smashing Good Times Stress Reliever. This is a facility that we could go to and we could, like, have our Joshy break stuff?
Yep.
Yep.
I'm there. I'm there.
I provide
today.
The product and the, you know, sledgehammers, baseball bats.
You know, I've heard of places like this, and there are critics who say, well, if you do this, then you're teaching yourself that that's the
okay.
way to,
you're right.
to deal with it.
Okay, but then again, if you have a lot of stress built up and you want to hit somebody, you go to a bar, then what are you getting into?
I don't like that argument at all.
You fight with your wife, or you're mean to your kids, or you're at a bar and you've had too many. You're taking it out on the dude next to his face.
Exactly. Yeah. You're okay. going home. Your next part paid from your house. This way you come to my place.
Like, if you know that you lashing out physically is an inevitability, you know it's going to happen. So instead of going home or going to a bar or going to a mall and just knocking out someone that works at Spencer's, you can go to your spot and relieve stress. May I ask where it is?
It's located in Catonsville.
Oh, that's where I want to move. Nice.
What do we have
right
that Josh can...
my new house.
Hey, he just bought a very nice place there. It's palatial.
I didn't, but I'm going to.
It's got five-car garage. What can we break? Like, well, give me an example. Like, I hand Josh a sledgehammer. What can he break with it?
Okay, well, I have recyclable appliances in there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
On desk. You have metal desk, washer, dryers.
Take a sledgehammer, a nice washer.
A nice washer. Okay.
Hell yeah.
This sounds badass. Mike, he is on hold.
Is that it, Mike? Is that the actual place, or is that just some rando place?
This is their Facebook page.
Oh, wow. What do you do?
Come on, man.
All right, maybe I'll go to the gym and hit a heavy bag, and if that doesn't do it for me, I'll come smash a TV.
I'm going to go to Spencer's and hit someone.
It's time to go behind the curtain. With Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Yeah, lost another one. Throw her on the old burn pile. Wendy's leaving us. She's gone. Last day. What do we do? We buy her something? Spa day? Group session?
Yeah, it's May 2nd. Well, I'll leave that up to Mike to plan.
Mike, any ideas?
Well, yeah, but we got to figure out what to buy. I'm going on vacation next week. I was just going to get something down the beach.
Oh, what if we make her something?
Not a bad idea.
That's more work.
A special fan art Friday dedicated just to Wendy?
Oh, that's a good idea.
That'd be nice. Maybe reach out to Halo, who does some of those great paintings of us and Stella and did the Howl at the Moon shirt. Maybe we get her a nice portrait of herself?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think we should speak to, like,
the reason?
The revolving door that has become known as the assistant producer job. It's just... To claw your way like up out of that, it's just so difficult.
Yeah, it's like climbing a greased glass mountain.
And the compensation is so poor. It's just like, man.
And also, and I don't think Wendy will take issue with me saying this, she's not an old lady by any means.
But she ain't fresh out of college.
Nah, she's got a life, man. And it's like a life, and like you need income and you need to support yourself. Like, you're right. If you're fresh out of college and maybe you're living with, you know, a bunch of dudes, you can still live with your parents for a little bit and help you stay on your feet, help you stay afloat. You can come in here, get your foot in the door, and maybe, you know, scratch and claw your way through it. But it's like, you know, she went into this a little bit later in life, rolled the dice. And look, I'm not going to say, you know,
I'm not going to say she gambled and lost.
No, right. It wasn't a bust. This was a great experience for her. Great resume builder.
She knew when to fold.
It's not the end. And, you know, who knows? We'll see. She's got this on her resume now. Maybe she, who knows? But
we'll miss her. She did a great job. She was very, very good sport. Would Wendy rubbing stuff on her face, telling us tales of the bedroom.
That's right.
Yeah.
She is now, she's dead to me. Dead to me.
Yeah, Mike, cancel her key fob. Make sure she's escorted out of the building on May 2nd. Wendy's leaving on Behind the Curtain.
Sad music? I thought this was a good thing. Wendy's transitioning to a man.
She has wanted a penis for years. And we did a little GoFundMe on the sly. And we...
Hey, get Wendy a ween.
Yep.
A ween for Wendy.
Everyone that donated, we raised the $60,000 necessary, and we are getting her schmeckle.
Wait, we only got her the $60,000 schmeckle? I thought we agreed to get her the 100 grand schmeckle.
Well, we also had to take $10,000 of that to transplant a mustache onto her. So $50,000 schmeckle, $10,000 Magnum PI mustache.
Wendy's getting away.
About time, huh? Yeah.
It's funny that you guys say that because there is a listener that texts in saying that he hates my voice and he thinks I'm transitioning from a man.
You couldn't sound less
from
man-ish.
A man.
From a man.
That's so you what think you were a man?
I don't even know if it's a guy or a girl because it's text, but.
Well, you know, don't pay any attention to the text.
I don't that much.
Wendy, well, Wendy.
You're not going to have to worry about the text much longer, are you, Wendy?
Oh, God.
I sure am not going to have to worry about those text messages much longer.
I feel like I'm going to throw up. Yeah, I'm not going to have to worry about that much longer, are you, Wendy? I'm going to feel like I'm going to throw up all over the board.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Yes, a few days ago, you came scurrying back into the producer pit, and you shut the door behind you, and immediately I went, oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Shutting the door behind you.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Guys.
I got a little bit of an announcement.
Just wanted to trap that in here with you. Yes.
I should have done that.
That would have been great. Guys, need to talk to you about something. Yep.
And that announcement was, Wendy, what?
That I am leaving the morning show. I apologize. It's been a great run. I love you guys so much, but...
No need to apologize.
My last day is May 2nd.
I'm going to get sick.
And I am just going to work on other projects.
More lucrative projects.
But, just say it.
Yeah. This job literally cost her money.
It does. It's sad, but it does. That's how much I loved it, though.
Yeah.
I would have done it for free, and I practically did, but I loved it so much.
If you do the financials, you crunch the numbers, Wendy... paid to work here.
Sad.
That's not even right. It is sad, but that's not even a thing.
Well, should be a thing.
Right.
It should
it's
be a thing.
And the hours are hard too when you have to supplement your income at night. So, but
What you do prevents you from doing stuff that you've done before and would like to do. Doing stand up in the middle of the week's impossible.
Yeah.
You gotta wake up at 3:00 or 3:30.
Traveling for it too is impossible.
Traveling's brutal. You can't take midweek, late night bartending shifts because if you've gotta be up at 3:30, 4:00.
Oh,
you
I
can't
still
be...
do that though.
Did you dye your hair or something?
No. It just fades out, yeah.
Is that what it is? Looks good.
Yeah.
The light is hitting it just right today.
Oh.
You look lovely.
Stop it, Scott.
You look lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, you have another job. You want to plug that? You go see Wendy?
No, please. I've had some listeners come in. It's an awkward situation.
All right.
You don't like that
but
at
yeah,
all.
You got another job that you really pays the bills. And then you want to do stand up and you're trying to do that. And then you got to be here at 5:00 in the morning.
Yeah.
This pays peanuts.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the crummy side of radio. It's like they don't want to pay people. And I don't know what it is. It's like.
You got to crawl through that same pipe that Andy crawled through in the Shawshank Redemption.
I just don't want anyone to think that's my only reason, though.
Well, too late.
Oh, okay.
No, I mean, there's a lot. Right. You want to.
Yeah, there was a list. There was a list of reasons. Well, I, you know, like there was pros and cons and just to do more stand up and to get more rest. And
give us the list. Start from five to one.
This is, you know, this. Yeah, it's radio. I get it. Right. We're on the radio. It's fun. It's great. It's a job. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. if it's a job and it's not working out for you and it's
Mike
not
verbally
fitting
abuses her.
Your life and what you want, you have a life and you have work. And if work is not compatible with what your life is at this point and it's not making your life better and it's not helping you financially, or then you got to take care of you, right?
Yes.
That's all. Well, nobody can fault anybody for that ever.
Yeah. As bummed out as I was to find out, no one here was upset and took the stance of, oh, how dare you leave us? Like, we understand, too.
Is that code for you can't wait for me to go?
No, I mean, we get it. We're sad, but, like, we also get it. Like,
we get it. The love is pouring in right now. Barb, Ariel, Don, Kai. Don Ryan wants to know, are you leaving because you found a station with a better breakfast buffet?
Actually, you know, the breakfast buffet, all of TV hates me now because of that. But by the way, you're welcome, because now every Friday it's full.
It's
and
still full. It's amazing.
Amazing.
Yes, because
so can I get
Wendy's,
a little recognition for that?
Wendy stood up for us. Wendy fought the good fight and died on that hill.
And I get a lot of snide little looks in the hallways from TV
well,
for that.
There she is, the pancake police.
Yes.
Yes.
They're like,
you.
Who is this girl anyway?
Yeah, you set the pick on that sausage tray for us. And for that, we thank you.
Oh, thanks.
So you will be... Do you still do Wendy and Friends?
I do not, because I used to do it on Tuesday nights, and I wouldn't get home until late, and being here, it was just not compatible.
That was your podcast. You know, mm-hmm. the podcast, Wendy and Friends.
Yeah.
You'll be doing stand-up. You'll be doing some other stuff around. So it's not like you're going to disappear from public eye. You'll just...
No, I'll be around.
Get your Wendy fix elsewhere.
This isn't the last you'll see of me. I'm going to let you know that right now.
Nice.
Please I'm happy for you.
Don't do a tell-all.
Thank you.
That's all
because
I have.
It seems
a
like,
tell-all,
don't
no.
do a tell-all.
Look, there are plenty
There's
of times...
There's nothing to tell.
This place is a sewer.
There are plenty of times where I've rolled in here and I kept my mouth shut because I was going to be like, ah, man, I'm tired. And I didn't get to bed till like, kid had me up till like 9:30 last night. And then I look over at Wendy and she's like, just scraping by because she had been up till, you know, working
like
last night till midnight to close.
Yep.
And then she comes in here grinding it out, you know, trying to build a resume, trying to make a name for herself, trying to get it in. And she, you know, worked tirelessly.
You did the damn thing.
You did everything you could do. But it's just like you can't continue to burn the candle like that, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough.
You have a dog to concern yourself with, beautiful Bob to concern
yourself
with.
I pay a dog sitter.
The
and it's more. I pay a dog
more.
Sitter more than what I make here.
Right.
So right. I could be here. That's how much I love. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, my actions are proving, like, this is what I love.
Well, know that all the creepy mail that we get for you will continue to forward to you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please do.
All the weird photos of you eating dinner through your dining room window. Someone peers with a telescopic lens through the bushes. We'll get all that stuff off to you.
Yeah.
And again, your last day is
May 2nd.
May 2nd.
Another week in a little
we
bit.
We switched the day, and I'm going to say it's because Scott isn't here Monday the 1st, and I don't want my last day to be without.
Oh,
yeah, we shall be here. That's nice. I'm going to be in Florida, and I'll be back the 2nd, and we'll have a big blowout.
Yep.
So make sure you get all your creepy emails in by May 2nd.
Please do. Mm-hmm. I love reading them.
You've got just about a week and a half to continue to be just absolute swamp goblins towards Wendy. Just get it in now.
Proposition Wendy for a tickling session.
Yeah.
Get it in now.
If anybody
wants to know if you're leaving to do porn.
I mean, it's more lucrative, but no.
No.
Damn it.
I'm not.
Really hoping for that vid. Well, Wendy, we love you. You've done an amazing job. And we'll do this again on your final day. We'll kind of have a little goodbye ceremony.
We'll play this recording over again.
Yes, we'll just redo this break.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin, Scott, and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So you'll hear Scott tell some stories coming up about a coach of his. His name was, again...
How dare you forget.
Hold on, let me try and remember. Hold on.
How dare you forget.
Hold on. It's not Purdue. I know it's not
Prelude.
Purdue. Prelude. There you go. I kept thinking pralines and cream, prelude. Prelude to something. That this guy, big, large-fisted man, just throwing Ric Flair chest chops at kids that relate to class and... At the end of the day, everybody loved this guy, respect this guy. You'll hear some stories coming up from Scott.
Tough love.
Tough love. Tough love, yes. Tough love.
Mike, you played
sports. Yeah, I was going to ask. This guy played sports and not even a peep out of you this whole discussion.
Well, I had a lot of good coaches, but none of them were overly aggressive. I guess I'm a little younger, so yeah, the time period where that stuff kind of flew was over.
Oh, you mean when you were in school, it had already reached the point where, you know...
The pussification of America.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we weren't quite at, like, no dodgeball yet, obviously, but yeah, it wasn't like the 80s or anything. But,
well,
neither
was I, Mike. I'm not that old. Jesus.
But I had one great coach, James Garland, Jimmy Garland.
Shout out Jimmy Garland. Is he still with us?
Jimmy Garvin.
Shout out!
The unofficial Freebird.
Shaping young lives. What did Jimmy do?
Yeah, there will be a lot of people that remember Jim Garland from North Hartford High School and North Hartford Elementary.
Oh, and thank you to Travis that reached out and reminded me that it was Coach Jonathan Briscoe. Big Briscoe. Guy was a football coach and an algebra teacher at school. I had algebra with him. And I never played football. He was the dude that took the middle finger and took the index finger and right underneath that nose. I believe he had a few of those where he'd do the thumb grip where he'd grip your thumb like that. And he'd do another where he would just hit kind of the nape of your neck. None of these obviously done to me. He only did to his players. But man, if that boy wanted to walk you somewhere, he walked you somewhere. Just by gripping and pulling.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we actually, there's an incident at my school where one of our soccer coaches was sleeping in a vehicle on the school property, and a kid thought it'd be funny to squirt him in the face with a water bottle. He then proceeded to smack that kid in the face as hard as he could.
Damn.
Well, that's different.
And that was, that's a little off topic, but.
That has nothing to do with coaching. That's like just kind of a domestic dispute.
Okay, if we're sharing stories about school then. I once got everybody on my bus when we pulled up in the midst of winter and the windows were fogged up to everyone write a different letter on their window facing the school. So when it pulled up, it read Scrotomobile. That's a lot of fun.
That's a little things.
It's tiny things. All right. Behind the curtain, tough love from rough coaches. What do you think your old coach would have thought about the commercial footage?
Sam Prelu?
Sam Prelu, the man that made the man that sits before us today. Every one of us in our lives have someone that we look back at that's an inspiration, a mentor, a hero, some would say. I've got Bill Riley. Josh Spiegel, who would you say is yours?
My hero?
Don't say me.
Well, did you have a...
Don't say me.
Not a mentor?
Yeah. Mentor. Well, what's his name?
David.
David Haynes.
Yeah. Dave Sandler.
Anybody younger, like before radio, that helped mold a really young...
Well, you got into radio at 12, yeah. So yes. I guess.
So.
No. I think he was the guy. He was the guy.
That was the dude. That's awesome. And you have Sam Prelu.
Absolutely. Spiegs did a story last week about a wrestling coach who slapped a chokehold on a student.
Hell yeah.
A student passes out and hits his head on the door, has a concussion, has to be rushed to the hospital.
Head falls off. They have to find a replacement.
And I kind of took up for the coach. I'm like, look, we don't know the situation surrounding this because sometimes coaches tend to, you know, scrap with the kids a little bit. Have a little bit of fun. Tussle. A little roughhousing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's all this was. And it just kind of didn't really... play out the way he thought it was going to.
Yeah.
Chips fell in a weird fashion. And it, because I said Sam Prelu, a man who we all loved and
I believe
admired.
You said not a negative word ever spoken of him. People have referred to him as a guiding light, a hero. What did your friend text earlier?
Yeah, my friend Mike. He actually texted me his obituary because I wanted to read through it, which is amazing. And my friend Mike, who went to Bethpage High School with me, I've known Mike since I was probably, I don't know, 12. He said he probably had the most impact on my life than any adult I've ever met.
Mm.
And that's the kind of people we're talking about.
Now, Nisi said also...
But yet, he would beat the crap out of us.
Yes, with a stick.
He would grab us underneath the chin. He'd whack you. He would go like this.
Just hold on. Just get
he would do... not the... what do you call it? The where you get hit in the chest.
I do the
wrestling move. The chop?
The chop. A chest chop. He'd Ric Flair chop you.
But he'd do the... He'd do a backhand one like this, and he was a giant man. He was a big
Grizzly Adams Paul.
He was a big, giant black man who played baseball his whole life and
my
football his whole
type
life.
Of black
he played
man.
Professional baseball, and he would just go like this. Wow! On your chest.
Yeah.
Delete. So hard.
Delete.
And he'd say,
delete.
And he would always say, God damn it, boy.
Wow!
God damn it, boy.
Wow!
What you do that for?
Huh?
and he would whack you so freaking hard the air would go out.
Well, hello.
But you loved this man. But you loved him.
Yes, you did.
He was an nowadays he'd be in prison for the stuff he did.
Well, let's not omit details from the story.
Up.
He also electrocuted some of you.
Yes,
he'd shock you and beat you and slap you in the chest repeatedly.
But we loved him.
And you loved him, and you're a better man for it.
God, he was the greatest man ever.
That's incredible to hear. And then we started taking calls from people that day. We were actually getting
started.
The dam burst. People started saying, yes, my wrestling coach used to pin us to the ground and would wrestle with us if I botched a hold. Our football coach would all of a sudden come running out fully padded up and would put one right in the numbers. We had a baseball coach that would take us behind the shed and root around in our pockets and like would feel our thighs up and give us smooches right around the base of our neck, right around that ear meat. He'd give this thing where he'd start to run his fingers through my hair and kind of just give me little smooches all over my forehead. Maybe suck on my elbows a little bit, blah, blah, blah. Because I feel nice. Is this our little secret? And I'd be like, what's happening right now? And I'm a better man for it.
Yeah, this is part of his obituary. It says, Sam never backed down from a fight, demanded perseverance and quote-unquote intestinal fortitude. Yeah. That was one thing he'd always tell us.
Gotta have that intestinal fortitude. Kevin Dubs checks in, says my old baseball coach hated me. So on the bus, I had to sit up front by myself while he would announce to the team that I had a vagina. Huh? That's abuse.
That's hilarious.
That's amazing. All right, guys. Kevin's sitting up front. Rest y'all in the back. Show of hands. Anybody what? Dombrowski? That's right. Kevin's got a vagina. That's why he's sitting up front. Back here's the penis section. If you got a set in your
it's
pants.
Hilarious. Talking about coaches growing up. They can be people that have huge impacts on your life. Keith Mills is a coach. I'm sure he's impacted positively so many young adults' lives in this area. That's invaluable, man. It really is invaluable.
You're right. There's probably a generation of middle school, high school athletes that in 10, 15 years will look back and say, Coach Hatchet Wound to the Face was a real inspiration to me. He made me the man that I was.
But we're also talking about, maybe those same coaches who you love and respect had some weird ways of showing it. And maybe were tough on you, hard on you. But at the end of the day, you knew that it's because they loved you and they were just trying to get the best out of you.
Exactly.
And now in 2017, maybe some of the tactics they implemented back in the day. I mean, this was
a little draconian.
I graduated, I don't want to date myself, but in the mid-90s. So we're talking early 90s.
Ah, he's old!
And up in, even then, the stuff my coach did was, questionable, but everybody knew him. He was an institution. He was a legend. He'd been there 30 years. Everybody knew he was an actual, really amazing dude. But nowadays, it seems like you'd probably be in court somewhere.
Yep, someone will be brought up on child abuse charges or sexual assault charges if there was too vigorous of an ass smack. I do remember our high school coach that obviously I never played high school football, but I saw our high school football coach who was also an algebra teacher there. His move was the nose hook.
Yeah.
He'd hook a nose
the
in
Spiegel's
a second.
Move.
He will hook a nose phase four style and rip your face off. I wish I could remember his name. It was Coach, it began with a K something. Big dude, big, large, Pudanowski looking strongman cat. And I saw him put a couple of digits up a dude's nose sometime and pull him along like a pet.
Yeah.
You do the giddle. And you got calls 410-338-1098. Let's talk to you. Had no idea that Blind Mike at one time wrestled.
Yeah, I was a wrestler back in high school.
Wow. Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, and Keith was talking about a guy last week that just retired, the legendary Hal Sparks. He was my wrestling coach down there.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you, man, he was one of those monsters while you were, in practice and everything, but to this day, I still respect him. And he's one of those only guys that I can still say yes, sir, or no, sir, to and still mean it,
Right.
Damn
even
right,
as,
yeah.
Even as a grown man.
Yes,
still,
sir, no, sir.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Very cool.
And I tell you what, it was funny because back in those days, you could smoke on high school campuses.
Right.
And and the smoking area was around the gym down at St. Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was smoking back in high school. And let me tell you, man, if Sparks came by and caught you smoking.
Oh, yeah.
you had hell to pay for the rest of that day.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He had your hell name. Yeah, he had your ass. Yeah, that's so cool. Thank you for the call, Mike. God, talk about it. That's a whole other conversation. Back when high schools had smoking areas, you had the big metal 55-gallon drum. They did not have those when I went to high school, but the old one was still there. That the ground was so dead and rotted and fetid from all the countless generations of cigarette butts being put out on it that nothing grew there. So you passed by that thing on the way to school. Let's go to Wyatt in Westminster. Good morning, Wyatt.
Morning.
What's up, Wyatt?
Hey, buddy.
How are y'all doing today?
Doing great.
Got a coach that inspired you physically?
Oh, absolutely. It was actually, I got a football coach and a wrestling coach. My football coach is actually my father. And, you know, that stigma of, like, all the coach's son always gets it easy, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah. That was the complete opposite with me. I was kind of like, my father's like dummy. He would show stuff on the football field. And then after every single practice, after we had already ran, he would always make me stay after, and I had to run extra gassers.
Oh, damn.
That, you know what? Actually, it seems to be the opposite. You say the old adage of the coach's son getting a little bit of an extra nod or a push. I've actually never heard that actually come to fruition. Everyone always seems to be that's the coach's son, gets beat up, gets their face rubbed into the dirt, gets that extra lap or the extra 10, 15, 20 burpees. I think that's actually a hellish occurrence.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. And then wrestling, I know you guys are big fans of wrestling. Growing up, I know, Josh, you're a huge fan of wrestling.
Yes, I am.
Wrestling up when the coaches would crank the heat up in the wrestling room to about 90, 95 degrees to get those extra pounds off.
Yep. Oh, God, yeah. Terrible. Hot, sweaty dudes rolling around.
All right, I'm leaving this room. And when I come back in, if I see any one of you guys with a stitch of clothing on other than a Trojan, there's going to be hell to pay. What? Is that, I can't? Nope. Okay. Nix everything I just said. We're doing laps.
Text at 410-338-1098. Had a football coach that had a wiffle ball bat that he called the Enforcer.
Ooh.
And he would crack it over our helmets and the back of our calves if we were out of line.
Damn.
I like that.
Okay. A wiffle ball bat, yeah. It seems kind of innocuous because it's a big yellow bat. You're not going to do that with a Louisville Slugger or something aluminum, but that thing still stings like the Dickens. And you get whacked with it.
Mr. Hedgerows at MSJ, we all loved him, and he slapped the hell out of us.
Strength and conditioning coach at Calvert Hall would figure out a different way to make me puke every day by running.
Oof.
Made me tough.
Wow.
Coach Mills used to get us into a track and field shape by taking us theater hopping. A true American hero.
Hey!
410-338-1098. Let's go to Paul in Moncton. Good morning, bud.
Hey, how y'all doing?
How you doing?
Hey.
I had a wrestling coach. The head coach really didn't do anything. He was just, he just recruited wrestlers and hired, world-class wrestlers to actually coach. And I was coached by an Iranian national champion.
Whoa, like the Sheik.
And he was also inducted into Tommy Chow's Hall of Fame. Now, if you've ever seen the movie Foxcatcher, I don't know, it had Channing Tatum and the other one.
I own it.
Okay, settle down.
Okay, well, that's a complete bullcrap movie because it had Dave Schultz being killed in 94 or something.
I'm sorry, just exit stage left. There's a gift basket waiting for you backstage. Thank you, human IMDb.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
Well, I hope you paid your fair share. Tax day came and went unless you filed for an extension. And yeah, you heard some people call and say they got audited. Some other people haven't even done it yet. I think the only really sketchy thing that I ever had happen to me, outside of getting some fake letters, which, by the way, watch out for the tax scam. The tax scam is getting people. The fake, hey, yo, money, the IRS letter, was I had some 1099s that showed up late one year after they were already done because I went to a neighbor's house. God, you ever had to do an amended return?
No.
The worst. You had to go. You basically have to redo your taxes. You have to do your taxes over again. And you got to resubmit them with an all-new form. You got to talk to somebody at the IRS. You got to do this, that, whatever, yada, yada. And you're definitely going to have to give back another chunk, which sucks because I spent it.
Yeah, it's like I go to... It's funny because, I don't know. I don't know if it is funny or if it's just, I guess it's just maybe interesting that especially like within the last month you go to like Target, even like a Target at the checkout, they have a giant rack of just like TurboTax boxes.
Yep. That's an impulse buy.
And it's like, I wonder like how many of those they, I just wonder what percentage of people do them themselves now as opposed to. Because I got a text here saying, you know, they went to one of them places and they, you know, they screwed it up. You see, like, the any place where they, I don't want to name names, but they have the little Statue of Liberty dancing.
You got a dude
front.
Flipping a sign. You're not doing my taxes.
No.
I want a tax professional. Yeah. Not a guy that looks like he's a member of, like, a local drum corps.
Who does yours, Spiegel? Did you talk about what you did?
I have an accountant.
He's Jewish. He's got a guy.
Yeah, I have a Jewish accountant.
He's his own guy.
But because I'm not good in math, and you do what you do well. You do what you do well.
Yes.
You don't do what you don't do well, and I don't do that well.
Can we use him next year or her?
You mean for your
what
for
do
you
our
mean,
own?
What do you mean? Can we? Who's
can
we?
We? Like if we decided to, like you know, like Scott's got a guy, but. You know, Mike, you'll be swimming in cash next year, and mine
are
probably botched.
For you and Mike.
Yeah, yeah I'm sure I could. I'm sure I could.
You let him use your doctor, and you know.
Yeah, I can.
Can I wear your skin?
How big is the stack of receipts that you hand over to this gentleman?
Oh, I save everything because it adds up. If you go to an event for parking, if the parking is $5, I save it. If it's $1, I save it.
Here we go. Behind the curtain, the tax man came. How much did you owe? It's tax day.
You just working on your taxes over there?
I'm over there. I'm just getting this final deduction. Okay, turns out I can't hold on. Yeah. I'll write off some kitty litter. There we go. Easy glide. Okay. Plant that off there. 10 millimeter ammo.
Carry the one.
Carry that. Kitty treats. And it looks like I'm getting back $15,000.
Glorious.
Yay! I forgot to carry the one. Remember last year, right around this same time, Dum Dum here decided to do his taxes right around February 2nd, day or two after I got all my 1099s. I got all my W-2s in order. And I decided to go online, hit up my TurboTax, definitely added a zero somewhere, and you know how TurboTax kind of keeps a little calendar in the upper left-hand corner, this is how much you're getting back for federal, this is how much you're getting back for state. Well, I knew that somewhere along the way that Daddy f***ed up, and I was getting back, I want to say it was $85,000.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, yeah, woo! Swimming in it. Don't do your taxes drunk. You're going to make a mistake and get thrown in a deep, dark hole somewhere for years.
Yeah, I have a guy. I let him do them because I for that very reason.
Yeah.
I don't want to screw him up.
Mm-hmm.
Today's tax day, right?
Yeah.
This is it. Yeah. You got to file by today.
It used to be the 15th.
Today's the last day. Unless you file for extension and get 6 more months. It's like,
And it's 6 months.
Does this day even matter anymore?
I think you can get 6 more months.
Yeah, you got to pay what you owe, or otherwise you'll owe interest.
Oh, Kevin Dubs says he sent a checkout for $11,000. Wants to blow his head off. Kevin, are you straight 1099? Are you one of those people that they just don't have taxes taken out all year long and then you have to pay at the end? Because I had to do that when I was a private contractor, which is kind of what a...
Yeah, but you have to count. You have to account for that. It's called accounting, and you have to account for that money, and you put it... Right? Isn't that what you did? You're like, okay,
I put it aside,
this isn't all mine.
I don't get to keep it.
It's a really nice paycheck, but no taxes have come out of this, so I'm going to take a bunch and put it in this account over here where... at the end of the year, when old man IRS comes calling, mm-hmm. I'll have it.
Well, then you got to do the quarterly thing. if you're a private contractor or you're a consultant or whatever the hell it is, you got to pay quarterly.
Oh,
or you
do?
Get another fine. I didn't know that. I got fined like 2 years in a row because I apparently had to pay quarterly taxes. Didn't do it. I mean, for every dollar I made, I just put 50 cents in the bank knowing that. You know, I had to give Uncle Sam his slice of the pie. And then you had the poor dude here, no longer works here, that got audited. I mean, they were calling him, asking him about Dunkin' Donuts purchases from 3 years ago on a business trip. Did you write off that croissant? How many of you had iced coffees? Said turned his ice upside down.
Yeah, I remember years of his life just being like paperwork Alish. And trying to find receipts and trying to compile things, and it was just hell. I was like, man, a tough go.
Yeah, do not mess with the man's money.
But everybody in the room filed? Everybody filed? We're all good to go? Yeah. Mike, you got everybody good?
Yeah.
How do you do yours, Mike?
I just do TurboTax because mine are so simple.
Yeah, very easy. Yeah, I mean, when I was single and you know, and it was just me and very easy, TurboTax is just like, okay, ready this is what I make, this is what I do, bing, bang, boom. Now you got the house and the kid and the wife. It's like, it's too much. Somebody
they walk you through that pretty well. They do a good job of talking to you about your deductions and this and that. But it is nice to have someone.
Here's the other thing. Tax people know how to do tax things.
Yeah, especially if they used to work for the IRS.
And they go, well, you can you know, do this over here with a little bit of this, and you're able to...
Scott, you're a veteran, right?
No, I'm not.
Don't do that. Don't do that. That's stolen
like
valor
that.
Taxes.
Scott. Nothing like what? That. Jesus. Take that back. That's not what I do. Why are you saying that?
I didn't say it. Your tax reporter did.
No, they know the system, and they know how to work within the parameters of the system.
You've got 17 kids, correct?
Yes. And now you're going to get me freaking audited.
And while we're talking about taxes, a little bit of advice from financial advisor Justin Daniel Schlegel. If you're looking to receive a larger tax return this year, may I suggest purchasing a house and having a bucket of children? Sure, the other 364 days out of the year will be a fit-throwing hell ride, but on that 365th, when the tax man comes with that check on a flatbed truck, back it up, boys! Probably spend it all over at Babies R Us and cleaners to get another glass of fruit juice out of the carpet, but didn't realize until you bought a home and had a kid. Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yep.
Let me take care of you. Damn. So, Mike, get to it. Have yourself a baby and experience the financial windfall.
Some texts that we got here at 410-338-1098. Today is the tax deadline, so we're talking taxes. Give us a call if you want. 410-338-1098. What do you owe? What'd you get? Kind of snafu did you run into? It says, my checks just cashed today. $49,500 to the U.S. Treasury and $12,500 to MD. I cried today when I looked at my bank account.
Oh, my God.
So he owed that much.
He owed upwards of $60,000+.
That's what it says.
I mean, are you an international diamond importer exporter?
Yeah, what are you making, homie?
What do you do? Do you sell helicopters to people in the helicopter purchasing business? Were you a part of the Catalina wine mixer?
I guess this was you talking about. Jesus Christ!
Oh God!
What's happening?
Somebody's about to derail my morning, and I'm going to yell at them.
Scream.
Mike. Stop it.
Don't you derail his morning. I swear to God, I'll take you down to Chinatown. I'll take you down to Chinatown. 410-338.
Can't bring a cooler to the demo derby. Scratch that. Don't bring a cooler, people.
Do not bring a cooler and watch that great event. It's going to be a great time.
Just no coolers.
No coolers. Who likes a room temperature beer in here? Show your hands, huh?
This guy
right here.
Somebody says, been an independent contractor for a better part of a decade. You definitely did not get fined for not filing quarterly. You end up paying more if you pay quarterly.
No, I definitely got a fine.
I don't know.
Man, I got something. If you don't pay quarterly, you owe more at the end.
And then somebody wrote that, it says, wrong, Scott, I'm a CPA. Most people would do just fine using TurboTax and following the prompts and answering questions.
All right, that's good.
I like to use a guy.
You know, I had a lady from New York. A bunch of comics used to use her. She was great, and then she did something to someone's taxes where she got a little too liberal with the, oh, you got a joke about video games, right? Well, your PlayStation's a write-off, and yeah, oh no, careful. You're audited. So we all kind of bailed on her after one of our boys got audited by the IRS. Let's talk to Lucas in Montgomery. Lucas, good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing, bud?
Pretty good.
Taxes paid? So, all filed?
Yeah, they're all good. Well, I am waiting for this year, though, because apparently somebody else has claimed my son, and I haven't heard back yet.
Oh, that's weird. May it be his mother?
No, she's on my taxes.
Okay.
But that's not why I called.
Well, why'd you call, dude? How did we get to that portion of the call?
Okay.
Yes. The reason why I called
was I did get audited quite a bit back a few years ago, and I got the letter. I'm nervous. Open it up. I read it, and it says, hey, this is the IRS. We reviewed your taxes, and we owe you more money.
Wait, so you got audited and got more money back?
Yep. It was only like $100 more, but yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Look at that.
There we are.
Success story.
Fantastic. One of the best stories ever told. Mike, be sure to podcast that. I want future generations. Yep.
Goodness.
Yep.
There was something real good coming.
He spoke bubble. He spoke like if his words came out like bubbles. What the hell's wrong with you? Let's go to Mike in Westminster. Good morning.
Morning. How you guys doing?
Hey,
I think the whole process with taxes seems a bit backwards to me. If I owe somebody money, I'm not going to sit there and calculate myself how much I owe you. I want you to tell me how much I owe you.
That's a very good point. Is the system backwards?
It is. It's a little weird. Yeah.
I don't even know how it works. I just do what I'm supposed to do, and then that's all. You know what I mean?
You know,
Spiegs, I see you thinking that one over.
What do you think of that flat tax?
What are you, in the alt-right? Hmm? What the hell kind of reasoning is that? Huh?
Weird haircut.
What's going on? No, but don't they figure it out for you? I mean, if you take it from your paycheck, right?
Yeah.
It's like they want.
Sir, are you there?
Nah, he bounced.
Oh, okay.
It's like they want to take it from you, and they know how much you owe, but they want to see if you know how much you know. And if not, they audit you, and they just take your car and family from you.
Yeah, I don't like that guy. No. I don't like that guy.
No.
He's overthinking it. He's trying to find problems with the system.
Oh, for two. Let's go to Joe in Baltimore. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Yeah. Now, you just got to be a tax nightmare, don't you?
No.
Come on. What's your story?
I just walked on my house about a year and a half ago around the same time Justin did. And he's very got a nice fat check.
Tell me how much.
I got a cash settlement that I ended up just putting back towards the house that was falling apart.
How much did you get?
That's where a good portion of mine is going towards my deck got collapsing from a tree. But I got $11,000.
$11,000.
Wow!
Yeah, look at you, homie.
Good job.
$11,000.
What does that mean?
No one knows. Joe should not own a home. He should live and work in a hostel. Let's go to Chuck in Belcamp. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
How are you, sir?
Doing well. So quick story here is we had a family friend who did taxes for many years, really good friends with my dad, 20 plus years, always did our taxes. Well, one year an IRS lady decided to show up to my house and say that he stole over $4,000 of my taxes one year when he did them.
This piece of garbage. Family friend
forever.
This is
the worst part. So we go to court, we go through everything, okay, you have to sign this, and pay this back. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to get some money back. Well, before he was able to pay me, he had a heart attack and died.
Never got my money back.
That's not nice.
Dude, you know what? You trusted this guy, and he was a family friend, and he steals your damn money.
And you think if you're going to go ahead and ruin a friendship forever, it's going to be like $400,000. $4,000? Like, I'm pretty sure if I hit dire straits, money for nothing, taxes for free, you'd lend me $4,000.
Damn,
that
son.
That dude stinks. Let's go to, Jimmy. Jimmy,
morning.
Why are you waiting, Jimmy? Why haven't you done your taxes yet?
Man, honestly, I don't know. It's just one of them things that you put on a back burner until
the last minute. And then I'm one of them persons that here I am on the last day. Don't even have them done yet.
Damn, son. Mm. Damn, son.
I don't even know where the hell to even go to be honest with you.
Yeah, we hear from a lot of them persons.
How do you survive, like, year to year? You seem like you're kind of a little bit unorganized.
I'm just
scatterbrained.
You know, I live my life a quarter mile at a time. You know what I mean? I try not to live too fast, but apparently that backfired on me this time.
Damn. Mm. Backfired. How many times does things backfire on you, Jimmy? Let's be honest.
You fall forward
How many
a lot?
Times are you sitting there at the bar complaining to your friends, right? You're complaining about all the stuff that's happening to you, but you know in the back of your head that you damn well caused 80% of it because you're an unorganized idiot.
Look, you actually gave me a clue this morning about myself.
Am I right?
Yeah, you actually honestly are.
Of course I am.
It's just,
I worked with someone like that for 8 years.
I used to be in sales. Tough racket.
Well, you know, you got to let people know.
I let you know.
Right
Get your act together. It's all your fault.
Look, fix it.
Stupid.
Now,
fix
what is
it.
Today? I'm going to go get my taxes done.
What?
I'm going to go get my taxes done today because of you.
Yes.
Do it, Jimmy.
All right.
Change today.
You're going to earn thousands.
Friends are sick of listening to you bitch and moan about how messed up your life is when you're the person messing it up because you're stupid.
Yeah. I know a guy. Erwin R. Scheister.
It's time to go Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So we had the honor and pleasure of getting to talk to Robert Trujillo. You'll hear in a big interview coming up. And where did you want to go with this? We could talk about the lead up as to who we were going to talk to and some of the behind the scenes goings on, the actual interview itself, and the guy's like really fun, childlike almost exuberation for still being in Metallica.
With one thing we didn't even get to ask him, which because there was so much to talk about and he was so great and talked for so long. We forgot towards the end, his son.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about that. Joining Korn temporarily or permanently or what is it?
I think he's touring with Korn maybe over the summer, and it's Robert Trujillo's son. And Robert Trujillo's son, who is now touring and playing bass for Korn, is how old?
13. 12. 12 years old. 12 years old.
Playing bass for Korn on tour.
Ty Trujillo replacing Fieldy for the band's South American live dates, and he looks like Robert Trujillo.
Yes.
He's got Amazing. That long hair. He's got that dark olive skin. And he also crab walks. He's doing his dad.
Does
it's amazing.
Yeah, crouch down, weird stuff. I don't know. It was just like kind of cool to talk to him. I mean, I love Suicidal Tendencies, who he was in that band for a while. He played, he had Infectious Grooves, which is like kind of a little more funk-based thing that he was in. Mm-hmm. Ozzy Osbourne he played with. It's just an unbelievable career, and now he's been in Metallica for, 15 years?
Yeah, you'll hear in the interview coming up, I just did a little, heavy metal math and realized that in a couple of years' time, he's going to be the longest tenured bassist in the band, which, they cover a lot in, that Metallica documentary, Some Kind of Monster, the lessons they learned from what they did and didn't do with Newsted incorporating him into the band. And, another thing I didn't get to ask him, was how much they let him contribute creatively, especially on Hardwired, he's considered a hired gun, but is he?
Well, and you hear me, I think at the very end of the episode, I say, hey man, I know, because I've been watching a lot of stuff of the recording of the album and leading up to this concert, and Kirk Hammett was nowhere to be found. He just basically...
I didn't know that until you told me
Google it, dude. It's all over the internet. Like, there's weird speculation. He said he lost his phone that had a ton of riffs on it, and he didn't have any ideas to come to the table with, so he really didn't show up all that much, and he just kind of laid down some. But it's James and Lars are Metallica at this point, and they write 90% of it comes from them. But Robert was in there with them pretty much most of the time fleshing all these ideas out.
Wow.
And you can hear it on a lot of songs. A lot of these songs are very deep, heavy groove-based songs, and it's like that groove.
I'm reading the article here. It's in Blabbermouth. He says, Kirk Hammett, I had 500 pieces of music on an iPhone that I lost in Europe. It's one of the most regretful things that has ever happened to me. He says that all of his solos on there, for Hardwired to Self-Destruct, completely improvised in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but then there's also, I think if you Google, Robert Trujillo's comment that is saying, you know, they're not so sure that that's the case.
Mm.
It seems like this may be a fabricated, I don't know. It's a weird situation.
Well, we enjoyed talking to him. We can't wait to see him play live. We got to talk to Robert Trujillo. Here he is on Behind the Curtain. May 10th, World Wired Tour, Volbeat, Avenged Sevenfold, Mix Master Mike, and your headliners coming to town. It's probably the biggest event. Not probably. It is. Metallica, they're in town. Joining us on the phone, Robert Trujillo from Metallica. Good morning, man.
Hey, how you doing?
I don't even know where to start, Robert. We found out about this concert earlier in the year, and it was so great. Our boss, who holds his cards pretty close to the vest, doesn't get excited about much. But when he found out that you and the rest of the guys from Metallica had picked Baltimore to kick this tour off, he was grinning ear to ear the way everyone else in the city was.
Wow. Yeah, that's awesome. You know, it's pretty exciting when you get guys like that that still believe in live heavy metal music in a big venue like that, huh?
Oh, hell yeah, man. M&T Bank Stadium outside right here in Baltimore. Kicking off the tour, and you know, that leads me to my first question. I'm just thinking about you guys, you know, gearing up for a tour like this. This is the first date of the tour. What is it like? I mean, we're about a month out right now, a little bit less than a month. What is your life like and the other guys' lives like leading up to the kickoff of a tour? Is there training involved? Well, do you have a lot of meetings, a lot of run-throughs? What goes on?
Well, our run-throughs generally these days have been live. So we've been we spent a few days down in Mexico City.
Oh, yeah.
And as you know, the crowds down there are insane. So, you know, gearing up for a stadium tour, it's like diving in the water and swimming, you know. You just go for it. You take it to the stage and you start testing, you know, the production, and that's kind of the best way. I mean, of course you have a few days where you're just running through the set, checking things out, but really it's like Ozzy used to say, you know, the best prep for a gig is a gig, you know.
Right.
It's like, you know, it was always like, you know, the best rehearsal for a tour is a tour, you know.
It's like, it, yeah.
So, you know, you know, we try a few things and you see what's not working and what's working. And then on our own time when we're, you know, kind of at home and we're trying things, you know, we're testing out what we call doodles and stuff.
Right,
we kind of play on our own, and there's a few things there that we're working on. At the same time, you know, you're working on new material. The exciting thing about this too is new songs. You know, we're actually bringing and incorporating new music into this.
Now,
I've been
I've been all over it. I've been YouTube and things. I saw some of the Mexico City shows, and I've seen some of the set lists. And it's probably, what is it, four or five songs, if not more, from Hardwired to Self-Destruct?
Yeah. You know, well, the album's doing so well, and people seem to really like it. And it's exciting for us because, you know, we love the old material. Of course we do. But at the same time, it's always nice to be able to play songs from the new album. And it's even better when people really like those songs.
Yes.
I mean, it's like sometimes it's like, I know for me, I go see a band and I want to hear all the classics. And that's like, oh, yeah, you know, skip the new song, you know, whatever. But in this case, it seems to be a bit of the opposite. People actually want to hear Hardwired, and they want to hear, some of the, even sometimes it's some of the deeper cuts. And you're like, whoa, we don't know that one yet, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, hang on a second.
We're talking to Robert Trujillo. It's May 10th, World Wired Tour, M&T Bank Stadium kicking off. And when I found out that we were going to talk to you, obviously I knew you from Suicidal Tendencies,
yeah,
Infection Grooves back in the day, dude.
Yes.
I was big into the skate scene. If we weren't listening to Suicidal Tendencies or some other really like good East Coast hardcore or West Coast punk rock like you guys, we weren't listening to anything. But I wanted to dig more into you and your influences. And one of your heroes is a guy 2 hours north of here from Norristown, PA, Jaco Pastorius. And you have his bass of doom, you call it. It's a restored bass guitar, correct?
Well, actually, his son has it in New York. But there's a long story to that. I mean, it was, I kind of rescued it, you know. I mean, we'd be here all day if we got into the details to that situation. Right. But
what is the base of Doom?
Missing. It basically, Jocko had a fretless Fender bass that was just, it had the sound, you know. It was like, there's a guitar player called Peter Green who played with back in the day with Fleetwood Mac, and he had a guitar called Greenie, and you know, Jimi Hendrix had his Strat. With a lot of these incredibly iconic, gifted, genius players, you know, there's an instrument that's sort of attached to them. And, right. And you know, Frank Zappa had his SG, and there was a certain sound that really had almost a spiritual presence, you know, when you heard it on record. And that instrument went missing for over 20 years, and I'm really tight with the family. We've been friends for many, many, many years. We managed to get the instrument back from a collector who had it and who was sort of on his way to taking it to Asia to sell it. It's just a long story.
Well, you did. You produced the Netflix documentary. You produced that, right? Because I've seen that, the documentary Jocko.
Yeah. I produced the film and, you know, everything from, I mean, financing it to writing it's an amazing film. You can see it on Netflix. It's called Jocko, actually.
Yeah.
And, it's been very well received, but the beauty of it, it's been organically well received. It's not like, you know, we had millions of dollars to promote this thing and pump it. It's just really been, I've gotten, you know, people I don't know, you know, from all walks of life. I mean, I got people at the TSA in Dallas,
wow,
you know, the other week saying, you know, oh my God, I saw the movie, I love it. And then you've got like Bill Hader, you know, the actor comedian who's throwing props out there, or Don Cheadle, or recently I heard Colin Farrell yesterday. Like, all these people that really have embraced the movie. So I highly recommend it because it's just a great life story. It's a tragedy, but it's also a bit of a celebration of the music of the past, in whether it's jazz fusion or rock or, you know, or just really great, incredible, funky bass playing. You know what I mean? Yeah. You got Geddy Lee, you've got Flea, but it's not about the celebs so much as it's about the story and the impact of that. And, it was a great experience, but a very difficult one for me because it took 6 years of my life, but like every single minute of the day. And it's like the person almost becomes a part of your life. So you'd be sleeping and at 2 a.m, you're waking up and it's like, oh, it's Jocko, you know, or 4 a.m.
Talking to Robert Trujillo, him and the rest of the guys at Metallica coming to M&T Bank Stadium May 10th, along with Volbeat and Avenged Sevenfold. And I mean, we got to thank you guys also for, I mean, we've done some amazing giveaways here on 98 Rock. We had the month of Metallica back in March. Somebody's going to get to be part of the security team and watch your guys' pre-show ritual with the little huddle you guys do before you go on stage. Just super, super cool prizes that you guys have put together for us. Now, you know, what are the travel arrangements? How does Metallica travel? Is it all together? Do you?
Well, you know, we all get on the Greyhound bus, and then
a car.
Yeah,
you know, we start from the West Coast, and then we get on the Greyhound, and we get the car rental usually, kind of Dodge. Sometimes we'll split because we've got to get the equipment in the pickup truck. So, we'll get Dodge pickups.
Is it all together? Or, I mean, is there families involved?
No.
Is
it? It depends. You know, right now, it's interesting that you ask that because we're kind of trying to figure out which family, you know, if like, I don't even know if my wife and kids are going, to the first couple shows. It's like, sometimes it's a last minute thing. Sometimes, you know, we really plan things because my family's super tight with the other families. It could be James's family. We like to do things together depending on the city. And,
and
for Baltimore, you know, we got prep to do, you know, we're going to have to do a bit of work before the show. So, I think it's going to be more focused on the production before we go into the show. And, you know, we're kicking things off. That's kind of the beginning of everything. So it's an important show for us. Just thinking about it, I get a little nervous in a good way, though. But, you know, it's exciting because it's like, wow, we're setting sail. We've done preliminary dates down in, you know, again, South America. And, you know, we've even done some arena dates in Scandinavia. So it's really like, now here we go. You know, we're taking this thing. This machine is ready to activate full on. So it's kind of an exciting time for us, you know, with the new album and the tour starting on the East Coast is cool, too. We haven't done the stadiums in a long time in the States. I mean, it's been quite some time, so this is crazy.
All right, we're talking to Robert Trujillo of Metallica. Robert, hang on. We got to take a break.
This is Behind the Curtain with Justin Scott and Spiegel on 98 Rock.
So a rare occurrence here on Behind the Curtain. We're going to continue talking real quick before you hear the second part of our interview with Robert Trujillo. We had an honor and pleasure getting to talk to him Monday of this past week. And have you given any thought at all with Metallica coming up and us finding out that we're going to be able to go on stage? We still don't know exactly when we're going to be on stage at night. What are you going to do? What are you going to say? You ran through in your head? Because you know we're going to be up and off in a flash. It's going to be 6 seconds. So we got to maximize our time. What do we wear? What do we say? What do we do?
Well, I think we take a page out of the Spiegel playbook and just trash the Steelers.
Solid.
For 30 seconds.
That's solid. Yeah,
that was a solid move.
Get them on our side.
Yeah,
get them on our side.
We should do that.
Yeah.
And what if it turns out everybody in the audience are Steelers fans? Like this fluke.
That's going to
backfire.
Like
everybody just came down from Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Josh comes out on stage and he has a box and he just pulls Elliot's severed head from it. Whole crowd cheers. And then we all realize we have to find a news guy because Josh decapitated a human being.
Yeah, you always do the, you know, how about Volbeat and Avenged Sevenfold?
Yeah.
I don't know if you do maybe one of those.
You guys having fun tonight?
You ready for Metallica?
Yes, get off the stage, dork.
You know, we're Justin Scott and Spiegel from 98 Rock.
Boo!
RadioOnline.com.
You suck!
Make sure you listen to us 5:10.
Bring back Mickey!
98 Rock.
Boo!
Metallica.
Boo!
Yeah!
Hey. Metallica. Hey, Steelers sure suck. That I agree with.
I think
I'm peeing myself.
How about I go into the crowd and I'm wearing a Steelers jersey, and then you call me up on the stage and then fake beat me up, and then throw me back out in the
Great idea on paper. Great idea on paper. But again, unless we put everybody in the know, then we're definitely going to get arrested, and we don't get to watch Metallica because of a stupid stunt. What about tearaway track pants? What about that? We do a little body paint.
I thought about that. Maybe like some sort of male nudity. Yes. I don't think that doesn't go over well with these crowds.
No. This crowd doesn't want male nudity. Yeah, now that we say it out loud, terrible idea. Terrible idea.
We did that at what was the thing we did where it was like, I think it was at Ram's Head or something, and it was a very like heavy metal crowd. It might have been like Not So Silent Night or something. And we did something on stage that had a little bit of male nudity, and the crowd was like not into it.
What was that?
Do you remember?
No.
Yes, it was Rams. It was Ram's Head, and it was, I think, a Not So Silent Night. I don't think it was me playing the theremin. I think it was a different kind of male nudity.
And I remember the year we did Not So Silent Night where they wanted us to kind of perform a little bit. But I don't remember what we did.
And once there was like semi-nude dude, the place just started to...
Refund! Refund!
Was it Will the Farter taking his pants off?
I don't remember.
Maybe.
Because he went up there and farted.
We can sort of do a troll on him where we bring Truly Scrumptious on stage and she flashes her new yabos and the crowd cheers. But then you pants her and this huge hog comes popping out. So they're cheering some dude with a new C cup?
Well, I brought this up before, but how about dressing up as Metallica? So when you walk out there, everyone like goes nuts thinking...
That might be funny.
We all dress. Okay, I get to be Kirk Hammett. Josh, you're Hetfield.
Yeah, he's Hetfield.
You're
yeah,
Trujillo. And Mike, you're obviously Hammett. I mean, that head of hair.
Yeah.
You could just get extensions.
You just come trotting
out
there.
We're dressing as Metallica to introduce Metallica. Coming up, the second half of our interview with bassist Robert Trujillo.
Scott and Spiegel, 98 Rock, 98online.com. And of course, May 10th, M&T Bank Stadium, Metallica, Avenged Sevenfold, and Volbeat. And joining us, we have Robert Trujillo.
Robert, is it wild to think that in a couple of years' time, if you think about it mathematically, you will have been the longest tenured bassist in the history of Metallica? You had Cliff Burton gone too soon. Jason Newsted, right, who was with the band from 1986 and left in 2001, and then you took over in 2003, and I'd say right around 2018-19, the clock is going to tick, and you'll have been the longest tenured bassist in Metallica. Do you ever still feel like the new guy this far into it?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. Yeah, basically it would have been 14 years last February.
Wow.
Recently, so just like a month or two ago, and it will be, yeah, Jason was 15, and so I'll be coming up on that, yeah, in February. So it is crazy, but I think, you know, even like, if I don't know if you saw the Rush film, you know, Neil Peart's still the new guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think,
so crazy.
You know, you're always kind of that, but at the same time, my journey with the band, even from day one, they really tried to include me. And I remember literally like day three or something, you know, we're going to have a meeting. We got this big meeting with some of the label executives and management. And yeah, you're going to be there, right? And I'm just like, really?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I mean, I wasn't even a part of the meetings with Suicidal sometimes. It was just like, okay. You know, and definitely wasn't a part of the meetings with Ozzy and Sharon. So this was new territory for me. And you know, it was really cool because I felt included in the business.
Yeah.
And that was really important to them. I remember, you know, them literally saying, you're a part of a family now, you know, it's, you know, it's time to jump on the train and move forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's documented in Some Kind of Monster. You see it there. You know, Cliff was there from the beginning. Then Jason had to fill those shoes. And then when you came along, the band was going through some stuff, but they, you know, James had gotten better and clean. And I think, you know, you've had a way different trajectory than both of those other guys, obviously, just based on one being there from the beginning, one being a replacement. And they, I think they really said, look, we need to do this differently this time around. And you've just done nothing but reap the benefits from that.
Well, it's been hard work because when I came in, like you said, James was, I say fragile is a good word. You know, he was going through this transition in his life. And everything was really, like, the scheduling and everything was, you know, he's sort of a glutton for timing and everything, you know, you're there at 11 in the morning, you know, you're there at 11 in the morning, you know. And I remember I was flying up from Los Angeles and, you know, flights get delayed, flights get canceled or whatever. Yeah. You show up 40 minutes late and it was like, and I was clueless. I'd show up and he'd look at me and give me that look and I'd be like, hey, what's up? And you know how when something's wrong, but you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a meeting around that time, actually. And he was like, I'd like to talk about True and his truancy. And it was like,
wow,
dude, I'm an employee.
What?
It was like, yeah, it was heavy. It was like Darth Vader, you know, at that time. And then, you know, the cool thing is through communication, you know, I was kind of like, well, I didn't know you guys or you didn't know. Let's talk about this. And it was literally like, I don't live here, you know, I live down there and I caught a flight, you know, and all this. And then it was like, oh, okay. Oh, that's right. You know? So sometimes it's, I mean, always with us, whenever there's any sort of, a situation, I guess you could say, we always try to talk about it,
communicate
through it. Whereas
that's it.
Yeah. Whereas in the past it was all about like, you know, just basically fighting and arguing and all that. So we try to get through all that. And you know, we're all in a different place in our lives now. We have families and we really try to focus on the schedule of our families, you know, our kids, the school, everything. My kids are a little younger than Lars and James's kids. But you know, we always try to cater to the schedules, and we tour smart. You know, we tour in a way that we can have great maximum fun and not burn ourselves out and come home, you know, readjust and then get back out. And we've been having a great time with the shows. And at the same time, I feel that we've grown as a band in the last few years. Like, we've actually gotten better. We've challenged ourselves.
Absolutely.
Even like just things like playing albums in their entirety. We did some special shows where we actually toured Master of Puppets and played the album in its entirety a few years back. We did the same with the Black Album. And we're talking about songs that had never been played live.
Right.
So, like Struggle Within, Don't Tread on Me, like some of these songs. And then, you know, which is exciting for me because I get to play something that I never played live. You know, even Orion, you know.
I wanted to ask you about Orion because I Googled that not too long ago. We talked about it on air. I'm like, man, are they even doing that? I would love to see it, but is it like sacrilege to do it? And then I Googled it, and there you are live, you know, full HD video at some concert doing Orion and killing it. And I was like, that's so awesome that, you know, they're letting Robert do that.
We've done it actually quite a bit in recent years. We performed it recently in Copenhagen, Denmark, couple months ago, and it sort of became an active part of the set in the last few years. A lot of that, again, we haven't toured the States in a while, so it would have been obviously in Europe or wherever else we were touring, and people love it. You know, people love the instrumentals. We played Call of Cthulhu as well because James had a throat infection in Copenhagen in that recent shows. And just before actually that Grammy weekend. So we played some of the instrumentals. He still sang, you know, he got through it, but we had to, you know,
pad it out a little.
Orion in Call of Cthulhu. And it's great. It's great fun. It's something that we're probably going to do more of.
Yes, please.
Moving forward. As you know, there's just an arsenal of material to choose from, old and new and in between. But, you know, again, my point is that from those challenges of embracing, you know, some of the albums in their entirety, or even, you know, we made an album with Lou Reed, which was actually a learning experience for us, I believe, and a new challenge. And we also did a film called Through the Never 3D movie, which was another challenge. So, you know, we always try things, and sometimes that pisses off our fans, sometimes it doesn't, whatever. It's kind of this weird relationship we have. But at the end of the day, you know, it seems like we keep winning them back, and we're doing that little tug of war dance with them.
And the greatest artists have to evolve and push limits and try new things. Otherwise, you just fade away into obscurity. I mean, you have to.
It's always been that way. I mean, you know, going back to, you know, recording and performing a body of music with an orchestra, you know what I mean? It's like, what? S&M. What are they doing?
So
you know?
Cool, man.
And you know, and people get pissed. People love it. You know,
well, it is an interesting fan base compared to so many other bands. I can't think of another fan base, and I'm not just talking music. I mean comic, film, television show, even sports franchise. The Metallica fan is a special breed because they're not just infatuated. They're very possessive and very protective of all of you. And anything that they deem a threat to Metallica, whether it be a bad review, whether it be you guys doing something outside of the norm, I mean, they take it to heart, ourselves included. We're deep, deep fans. So when we see something new, we're like, oh, man, this better not change the course of the Metallica that I love so much.
Right.
But it never does. It's always just adds to the legacy and the incredible catalog that is Metallica. And I think you guys, like James said in a recent interview, your incredible albums have been just that. And I still think you guys have yet to write your best work.
Oh yeah, I believe that too. You know, I loved hearing that because the craziest thing is we're still growing, and here we are in our 50s now, and you know, I as a player, as a writer myself, you know, but my whole thing is to support whatever we need to do as a band. You know, it doesn't matter what I'm doing away from this or what I've done, you know, I'm proud of everything. I'm living my dream, you know. I mean, working with Ozzy and working with Mike Muir and Jerry Cantrell, you know, I mean, just this whole journey that I've been able to take. But when I'm working with Metallica, it's like I'm there to support as a bass player, as a writer, as a brother, you know, in terms of whatever's needed. And Hardwired was really actually majority James Hetfield's riffs. And there was just such a mountain of ideas coming from him that it was like, okay, let's cater to that. Let's make that happen. Let's bring that to life. Let's support that. You know, the next album, you know, might be a different adventure, you know. But the bottom line is, from the time for me working with Rick Rubin and Metallica on that Death Magnetic album till now, for me at least, it feels like a fresh start, and it feels like something new. And it feels like, I mean, there's a lot of ideas that you guys don't even know about that are jams. And, you know, that's how we do it. We jam.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter whose idea it is. We take it on the floor and we play it and we test it and we try different things, and it takes time. But it's that energy and that commitment as a team to what you do and how you do it for the purpose of the band and the music. Now, outside of that, yeah, I've got friends. I got the best musicians in the world. In fact, Brooks Wackerman from Avenged Sevenfold, the drummer, I've been playing with that guy since he's 15 years
old.
Wow,
you know what I mean? Awesome. It's like, super cool.
I'm excited to actually be sharing the stage with him, and it's just a coincidence that he's playing in Avenged, which I think is great. And but he played in Infectious Grooves. Go back and listen to Groove Family Psycho record. He was 15 years old and he's shredding. It's like we're on this journey.
It's a dream, man. It's a dream.
It's amazing.
And I'll tell you what, Robert Trujillo, May 10th, M&T Bank Stadium, Avenged Sevenfold, Volbeat, right here in Baltimore. I think tickets are still available. If you haven't got them, get them. Robert, thank you for taking the time this morning. You were fantastic. And I know you were a bit, like you said, they were James's riffs, but you and Lars and James, I know you were in that studio, and it was the three of you really grinding it out on this. And I'll tell you what, that I don't know if it was you, but these songs have a groove to them, man, and I know you bring that groove, and I know you all work together, so you're coming through on this album loud and clear, because these songs are groove-based, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing we got to do really quickly is just we got to thank our producer, Greg Fiddleman, because Greg is like a mad scientist in the studio. He's so focused. He ends up knowing the songs better than anybody, and his commitment to sound and the sonic value of the bass.
Yeah.
And the presence, you know, and the foundation of the drums and everything was really key. I think it was one of the key ingredients. And of course, again, Metallica is probably, in my opinion, you know, stepping outside of being Metallica, is one of the funkiest, you know, I mean, listen to, you know, Disposable Heroes or Sad But True. James is like, he was originally a drummer. I don't know if people know that, but he's a great drummer. And the groove is really what's important to him. And together, you know, as a team, and, you know, that's something that we thrive on. And it's just, and that's why I always say, you know, bands like Metallica or Slayer. Slayer's got a great groove. You know what I mean? It's like, that's important. You know, that's like the secret little ingredient, you know.
Touch a groove.
You got to have that funkiness in there, you know?
Robert, I can reiterate what 1,000 people have said, and I think Scott feels it, I feel it, just as Metallica fans, and I mean this, I can't thank you enough for picking up the bass, picking up the mantle, stepping in, and continuing to not just be a part of, but to make greater the legacy that is Metallica. You have done those prior to you a total honor, and I'm hoping that you are absolutely the final bassist ever in Metallica's. I just don't think it gets better than this lineup
well,
right now.
Thank you.
Dude, thank you so much for everything you've done.
Thank you. We're we're having fun, and that's the most important thing. And it's really great that people are accepting what we're doing now and enjoying the ride with us, because you can't ask for a better situation. You know, we never know what's going to happen. You know, we do what we do, and And when we put those instruments on, we're like teenagers again. And that's what's important. And that's what we feel. There's no shortage of ideas. Let's just say that. There's always, you know, a lot of bands burn out at a certain age. But actually, it's the opposite. It's like we got too many ideas.
That's a great problem to have, dude. What a great problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be May 10th, World Wired, M&T Bank Stadium, Avenged Sevenfold, Volbeat, Mixmaster Mike in between, and your headliners, Metallica. Robert, we cannot thank you enough for taking the time to join us this morning.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. And, yeah, man, we'd love to get everybody over there. It's going to be a party, and it's going to be awesome, man.
Awesome.
It's going to be really great. So come down.
Thank you, Robert Trujillo.
All right. Cheers.
Later, bud.